All right, so happy Sabbath, everybody. All right, you know, it is Women's History Month. Is it the whole month? It's the whole month. All right, so shout out to all the women in the building, those watching online. Big shout out to you. A couple things before I get started. Any new first time here? First time here. Renee, I see you in the back. Shout out. Appreciate you. Yeah, if you know, you know. Akil. I'm just using, you know, yeah. That's Akil's statement. Anybody here for the first time? You're for the first time, mommy. Where are you from? I know you said your name. Sharon, are you local? You live in Sanford area. What you doing next week? Oh, you usually go to Patmos. All right. Well, oh, these are your girls? Okay, all right. Well, You know, what's her name? Aza. You know what? Just because you did that, see, I'm going to say Daff, because Daff is hiding his face. Just because you did that. Now, if you come back next week, this is not a bribe. Let me just put that out there. But if you tell mommy, could you bring me back to MOH? Can you remember that? MOH next week. Daff is going to have $25 for you. $25. Look, turn around. See his hand? Put your hand in the air. He's hiding right there. He's going to have it. He's going to have $25. And then we're going to have lunch as well. So I don't know what mommy got going on next week, but mommy, we can't disappoint these kids. All right? We can't. All right. Oh, you usually work? Sister, mommy, grandma, so bring Asia. Bring Asia and let her get her blessing. Get her blessing. All right. And then you're here for the first time. We met. Tell me your name one more time.
Allo.
Listen, thank you so much for being here. You're local.
No, Tampa.
That's local. Yeah. Yeah. Did you take a plane? It's local. All right. But I appreciate you being here. You're going back up. You're driving back today. And we just want to pray and wish you the absolute best of journey back to Tampa. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Okay, so great grand. Okay. Say it one more time. Oh, she's due this week? Okay. All right. We're going to do that. We're going to do it. We're going to pray for you, right? We're going to pray for you. All right? I was going to ask you if you're okay, but I'm going to pray regardless if you say yes or no. So we're going to pray for you. And thank you for sharing that information. Thank you. We're going to pray a very special prayer for you. We'll pray. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else? We got everybody? All right, awesome. Don't miss out on your blessing now. Tony, good to see you. Appreciate you. All right, we're going to pray. Everybody just, I'm going to let you sit. We're going to let you sit. And everybody, I'm going to ask you to stand. And just hold your hand out. We're praying. And what's your name? Aaliyah. All right. We're praying. Hold your hand out and pray with me. Father in heaven, Lord, this is a miracle. This could not have happened without you saying so. So, Father, I pray that you be with Aaliyah and the baby, the doctors, all her family members. Father, I pray that this child will grow up knowing that you are Lord, that Aaliyah will represent you every single day. A matter of fact, God, I pray right now that every single need that this child could ever have, that you will provide it. And not just provide it and provide just enough, but God, that you would provide so much that the cup would be full and run over. God, I pray that there will be no complications. I pray, God, that in the name of Jesus, This will be a wonderful worship experience, Father, where you will get the glory at the end. Send every person that know and can provide support, whether it is food, whether it is diapers, whatever it is, Father, that she needs. I pray that you would instruct your people, your children, even us here, show us how we could help and show and lend support to Aaliyah and her beautiful family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, put your hands together. All right. We have you shared the baby's name with everybody? Not yet? Oh, you haven't shared it yet? You want to tell my ears? I'm kidding. All right. Good. The last couple of weeks we've been in the series, this relationship series, We Need to Talk. Last week, Pastor did part two. I'm doing part three today. Now, if this is your first time here, I want to invite you to go back. I don't want to spend a lot of time recapping. It's 12:20. So I don't want to spend a lot of time recapping what we covered. I can tell you this. The first, we talked about the principles the first 2 weeks ago. The principles in how to effectively communicate what we need to. The fact of the matter that we need to speak clearly, but we also need to watch our tone, and we need to be honest, and all the principles are there. Go back on YouTube and watch it. Check it out. Pastor did what I would consider a prequel, where he talked about the enemy, the real enemy, who the enemy is. The enemy is not the person you're upset with. The enemy, the real enemy, is the devil. He talked about that powerful message. Go back, check it out. Today we're going to continue with part three. I want you to stand. I know I asked you to stand already, but I want you to stand as we read the scripture. I want you to read it loud with me. Jason, you help me out, put the presentation on the screen. There we go. John chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 65. We're going to read 65 to 66. All right, 65 and 66. We're not going to read 67. All right, here we go. John chapter 6, 65 and 66. Do this. All right. You're getting ready to read. I want to hear it. Allo, I want to hear you. Okay? Got you? All right. Here we go. After three. Got to turn this on. After three. One, two, three. All right. Okay. We don't serve a God of confusion. We got to be on the same page. All right? We're going to read together. Here we go. After three. Real loud. Just checking to see who's not ready. All right. After three. One, two, three.
He went
on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has made him. From this time, anyone. All right, guys, come on. Are y'all tired? Are we tired? You tired? Who's tired? Me too. All I want is 33 minutes and 41 seconds. Can you give me that? 33 minutes, 41 seconds. Let's do this thing right. Here we go. After three. One, two, three. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Amen. All right. I'm talking today under the title, Do You Understand the Words That Are Coming Out of My Mouth? Can you real quick tell your neighbor, sir? Neighbor? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I mean, one more time. Tell the other neighbor, sir. Neighbor? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Amen. You maybe see that you didn't do it too nice. I don't like how you did it. So I'm going to ask Jason in the back. I'm going to ask him in the back if he could help me out and play this very short clip for me. I want you to listen, nothing to see. Turn it up, listen. Visualize it.
Please tell me you speak English. I'm Detective Carter. Do you speak any English? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yes. That's exactly how I wanted it, right there. Do you understand? This little clip is from a movie that I watched many, many years ago for the first time. Rush Hour. It stars Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. And I see some people smiling, so I'm assuming that you've seen the movie. But this particular question that he's asking, it immediately tells you that he is talking about not communicating. He's communicating. But the question that he's asking speaks to comprehension. So we've been talking about communication, but oftentimes I realize we can communicate. But if we don't understand, then we're communicating in vain. We can talk. We can talk. We can sit and talk. 2-3 hours. But if you don't understand the words that are coming out of the person's mouth that you're talking to, then they are talking in vain. To effectively communicate, one must not just engage in dialogue, but one must also listen. Somebody say listen. Listen. Now I learned this. There is a show that I was introduced to. The name of the show is Iyanla Fix My Life. Iyanla Fix My Life. And essentially, the show is a show that this particular person, Iyanla, her name is Iyanla Van Zant or something like that. And she goes around and she helps relationships, people with problems. People with mommy daughter problems, mommy son problems, husband wife problems, boyfriend girlfriend problems, son father problems. She really goes around. She helps them really approach. She shows them healthy ways in which those individuals can approach and engage in dialogue, and effectively fix or find a solution for whatever the conflict is. In this particular episode, she was talking to a very famous rapper. His name is DMX. You don't know him, you're Christian. I'll tell you about him. DMX is a rapper, and he has some kids. His oldest son, the relationship with his oldest son is non-existent, or was non-existent when this was airing. Hadn't talked to his son in a very long time. And so she went in to try and get both sides of the story, get them together, and have them work out whatever the issue was. The son sat down in the studio. The father sat down, DMX sat down, and the son started communicating, Randall, telling the father exactly what his problem was. And the essence of what he was saying is that every time I try to talk to you, you turn to drugs. That's all the son was trying to communicate. I've never received love from you. I don't know what it feels like to be embraced and to feel love consistently from you. And what DMX heard was that you trying to say I didn't provide for you? I didn't put food on your table? A shelter over your head? What you mean you don't feel love? Iyanla then explained that when talking, if you allow the filter, somebody say the filter to help determine what the individual you're talking to is trying to communicate, then you're not going to get what they're saying. What's a filter? What's a filter? Here it is. Let me tell you real quick. Oh, somebody want to answer me? You want to answer me? Who said? Oh, okay. All right, here it is. A filter refers to an individual's experience, their emotions, and assumption, their experiences. What did you go through in your past? What did you deal with your dad, with your mom, with the past relationship, with a friend? Who did you lose? What job did they abuse you on? I mean, what did you deal with that is affecting you? It has built a filter, or I don't want to say a wall, or a fence, so to speak, where you only hear things from that perspective. You didn't take the time, and sometimes you did take the time to properly try to heal from those experiences. But there is a thing called PTSD. That when you find yourself in a similar situation, close to what you experienced before, it automatically triggers. And therefore, you are reacting and not responding. Your experiences. The emotions. How those experiences made you feel. And if you do not get to the place where you accept, you know what? That experience traumatized me. That experience had an impact on me. And sometimes it's not bad. Sometimes it's the opposite. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we are used to a particular type of love. We're used to love being displayed a particular way. Right? So we touchy-feely and all of that stuff. And, you know, you feel loved. You've identified your love language. Physical touch. Words of affirmation. Quality time, you know, and so you're used to it, and now you are not in that particular situation anymore. You're in something completely different, not getting what you used to get. And you automatically assume, this person I'm with don't love me. Because they're not giving you what you got the first time you were exposed to it. Assumptions. Have you ever you're talking to somebody, you tell them Al, you tell them something, you know, and their response was, let me say it this way. Have you ever sent a message, asked a question, you left a post on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever, right? And you got a response. And you had to either ask out loud or ask yourself, how did you get this from that? Assumption. So you don't ask a clarifying question. You don't ask a clarifying question. You automatically tell the person exactly what they said. And then the person looked at you funny. Wait, that's not what I said. Assumptions. These things it's filters. They're filters. They help to determine. Sometimes they determine, not just help, but they determine what and how you hear from that person. That person is trying to communicate one thing, and your experience have altered that communication. Communication determines how you say it, and their filter determines how they, what, everybody? How they hear it. Communication determines how you say it, and their filter determines how you hear it. Communication determines when you say it, and their filter determines when you hear it. Have you ever been in a, you could have been saying, have you been in a situation where you're talking to somebody, or you've been talking to somebody, and you've been telling them, you know, you've been telling them their face, they have an oval shaped face from 232 AD. You've told them this every time. You've been telling them this all their life. And here comes somebody brand new telling them the same thing. And it's like brand, it's news to them. It's news. And yet you haven't been saying it all this time. Communication determines how, it determines if, it determines what, it determines when. If relationships are going to get better, we need not only to have, we need not only have to do a better job talking, we need to do a better job actively listening. What is active listening? What is listening actively? James 1, verse 19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be what?" Come on, come on, it's on the screen. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to what? And slow to become angry. Now, there are different personalities in this room. There are some of us that are outspoken. There are some of us that are not. There are some extroverts. There are some introverts. There are some, what do they call it? Ambivert. Ambivert. In between. There are some situationals. Right? As a person that speaks out, you know, I can easily identify. But if you're not a person that typically speak out, if you don't typically are quick to raise your hand in the room and make a comment in the meeting, that does not mean you're not speaking out. Let me say it. That does not mean that you are not doing something to prevent effective dialogue, to prevent active listening. Some of us, we talk in our minds. We talk in our minds. "I know she didn't just say that to me." You didn't say it out loud. Say it in your mind. "I know he didn't. I know, you know." We talk in our minds. Some of us, we talk out loud. Person not even, you know, the person is in the middle of trying to communicate something to you, and you cut them off straight up. Straight up cut them off. "Hold on, wait. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't mean to cut you off, but slow to speak, quick to listen. I'm going to read this for you real quick. Active listening is an act of what, everybody? And I'm going to say it one more time. Active listening is an act of what? And it honors the dignity of the speaker by offering undivided what? Setting aside personal judgments and seeking not only to understand the speaker's words, but also the heart and the intent behind them. Active listening is an act of love and respect. And the reason I separated love and respect is because it's very possible to love somebody that you don't respect. But if you're actively listening, it's an act of love. Bible says, if you love me, do what? If you love me, keep my commandment. It's an act of love. Actively listening don't mean I'm in a conversation and I'm talking to somebody and at the end of talking, I shake my head. That's not actively listening. Shaking your head, it's not. Actively listening is hearing a concern. It is hearing a need. And then after the dialogue has ended, I go do something about it. If you love me, keep my what? It's something that you have to do. It is something that you have to do. And some of us find ourselves in situations, in relationships, where we are not being heard, where we are trying to talk, but the person we're trying to talk to don't understand. And oftentimes, it's because they're not actively listening. But sometimes, I'm going to say this, sometimes it's because we unconsciously think. I'm going to step on some toes now, right? We unconsciously think that we display narcissistic behaviors. What I mean? That person don't listen to God. Why are they going to listen to you? You're in a relationship with somebody that don't listen to God. You are listening to God. And you think if they don't listen to God, they're going to listen to you? Who are you? Who are you? Sometimes it's active listening. Sometimes that is not being practiced. But oftentimes, the very foundation is wrong. It's wrong. They're not going to listen to you. I heard this story about this young lady and her dad. Long story short, is that she felt hurt by some actions that her dad took. Very hurt about it. And for about 12 years, she tried to communicate to her dad what the dad did that caused her pain. Try to communicate this. 12 years. And for 12 years, the dad didn't understand. For 12 years, the dad worked. Dad wasn't listening. Dad didn't care. So she's been walking around. Now the dad is sleeping every single night. Goes to bed, sleep amazing every night. And she's walking around with this burden. Because you did something to me that caused me pain. I'm a Christian. He's not. At least not actively. And it was not until she realized, my dad will not hear my concern if he's not hearing his father's concern. He's not listening to God. How are you going to listen to you actively? It honors the dignity of the speaker by offering undivided attention. I have a habit. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not blaming. But we have been discipled, and we don't even know it, right? You ever watch sports or CNN? You ever watch TV and you see things scrolling across the bottom? There's things on the side. There's things on this side. There are multiple stories. There's breaking news. There's another game that you... A matter of fact, we have... There's some TVs now you can watch 2, 3, 4 games at the same time. This thing of not providing or giving the person that you're talking to undivided attention is absolutely serious, and sometimes we don't recognize. This thing right here, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. You're talking to somebody,
yeah, sure, yes, man,
and we on our phones. Does that person have your undivided attention? Huh? Does that person have your undivided attention? Let me ask you this. Are you expressing in that moment an act of love? What if God did that? You know what I'm saying? Ring, ring, ring. Hey, Jesus. Hold on. Okay, sure. What if every single time you knelt down, and I said this a couple weeks ago, but what if every single time you went to pray, God spoke over you? What if he did not actively listen to your concern and your needs? Would you feel loved? Would you? It's giving the person undivided attention, setting aside personal judgments and seeking to not only understand the speaker's words, but also the heart. And the reason why I put this in here is because for so many people, I shared that I am a processor. You know, it takes me a while to process, and I'll think about what I want, how I feel, and what I want to articulate, and I'll express that. And sometimes that takes a while. But then you have others that they actually think while they're talking. And so sometimes you have to like follow them and follow the train of thought as they are navigating this particular circumstance, so that at the end of them talking, you can understand. Oftentimes what happens is that we're turned off. We're turned off by the navigation. What are you trying to say? I'm confused. All right, okay. As a matter of fact, sometimes we hear a person, and we're not perfect. And so when we're talking, we don't always speak from an emotional standpoint. And so you hear something that may very well come off offensive. But you know the person. You know the person love you. You know the person love you. You know they care about you. Are they really trying to call you a cow? Are they trying to disrespect you? I don't know. I just said cow. That's the first thing that came to mind. What is it? What is their heart intent? What are they trying to communicate? And can you look beyond? Because sometimes the words are not enough. But look at the actions. Are they crying? Are they sad? Look at the actions. What is the heart's intent? Understanding the speaker's words, but also the heart and the intent behind them. The absence of active listening will produce the presence of relational what, everybody? Come on, don't fall asleep on me. The absence of active listening will produce the presence of relational what? Which will affect the quality of your life. I talked about this some months ago. The quality of life is based on three things: the principles, values, and standards. Principles, values, and standards. Real quick, I'm going to share with you what these three things are. Principles, this is the truth that you choose to live by, right? The truth that you should be living by is the word of God. Somebody say amen? Now, does truth exist outside of the word of God? I see some no's. Anybody? Does truth exist outside of the word of God? That's a real question. It's not rhetorical. It's what you think. Tonian, does truth exist outside of the word of God? No. Let me ask you this. Does anybody think truth exists outside of the Word of God? Okay, all right, cool. Does the Bible talk about gravity? Does the Bible talk about, no, don't even think about it. There's no way you're going to, I'm not going to waste my time waiting for an answer. The Bible does not speak on gravity. Now, if you climb on the roof and jump off, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? You're going to what? You're going to fall, right? Is that true? Is the law of gravity true? Now, does truth exist outside of the Word of God? You're afraid to say yes, but it does. However, the Word of God is the Supreme Court. So the truth that exists outside of the Word of God, you take it to the Word of God. And if the Word of God say no, then it's no. But if the Word of God say yes, it's yes. Now the Bible does not specifically talk about gravity, but there are errors in the Bible that alludes to the laws of gravity. All right. Are you with me, everybody? So the principles is the truth that you choose to live by, right? The Bible is the what? The Supreme Court that decides what is truth. And I say that is the truth that you choose to live by and not the truth that you... It is not what you say. It's not what you say. It's what you do. Because I know a lot of people that profess to be Christians, but they ain't living a Christian lifestyle. They profess that I love. You ask some people in some relationship that is going through abuse, and they'll tell you straight up, yeah, I love my spouse. I love my partner. I love my spouse. But when you look at the things that they present that should be evidence, it does not add up. It is the truth that you choose to live by. And the Bible holds the principles as the Supreme Court. All right, second one, values. The things that you make most important to you, not the things you say is most important. Right? So it's not what you proclaim to be important. It's the things that are actually. What do you, all right, it's okay. Let me get real. If I ask the question right now, how many of us have idols, we probably would say, you know, none of us. None of us would probably put our hands up. None of us, absolutely none. I believe that's a safe assumption. But if I ask the question, for you to compare the amount of time you spend with your God versus anything else, I am almost certain that the time that you spend with those other things outside of God surpasses the time that you spend with God. Now, the question that you should consider is that, are those things idols? Worship does not always sound hallelujah, amen. Worship is a lifestyle. Quality time. Intentional time. So if we're spending intentional time or more time with this particular thing, if you're spending time playing a game or you're spending time watching sports, you're spending, if there's 24 hours in a day and you're spending 20 hours doing this particular thing, and only 4 hours with God, what does that say? What do you consider to be valuable in that situation? Values are not what you proclaim. They're actual values. How you live. And the standards are, it's not in the ceiling, right? And oftentimes we confuse goals with standards. This is what I need. I need at least this for my heart to be content. It's the standards, it's what you stand on. I need at least this. The standards are not negotiable. This is what I need this. Can't compromise on this. I'm not talking about a way of life, like how you want how you want the dishes washed and how you want, you know, you have different particulars. I'm saying your standards. Anybody I'm talking to, you have to love God first. You have to be trying to be a better person. Standards. You have to have a desire to want to live right. Standards. Not going to always get it right. You're not perfect. But the desire is there. These are the three qualities that life is based on. Principles, values, and standards. And when your principles is jacked up, when your values are jacked up, and your standards are jacked up, your relationship is going to be jacked up. There's no way that you can have bad principles, bad values, and bad standards and have a good relationship. And for those who are married, you may be, okay, well, I have a good standard, and I have good values, and I have good principles. But where does that line up with the person that you're actually in a relationship with? My mom, you know, would say this to me when she would caution me with the type of friends that I keep. She would say, Ella Sterling, it's easier to pull somebody down than it is for you to pull them up. Easier for you to pull somebody down than for them to pull you up. It's easier for me, yeah, whatever the case is. Y'all get what I'm trying to say. You need good principles, you need good values, and you need good standards to have a good relationship. So you can practice active listening, so you can have a quality. The Bible tells us that God came not to just give us life, but life more abundantly. And when that text there talks about the quality of one's life, I want to share with you. So we read John chapter 6. I'm going to quickly move. All right. We read John chapter 6. We're going to read it, but I'm going to quickly summarize. Okay. We read John chapter 6, verse 66 and 65 and 66. The entire chapter, just quickly, right? First part of the chapter it talks about the feeding of the over 5,000. Right? But know that story? It was, you know, preaching, Jesus preaching. Yeah, and there was no food, they were hungry, people were complaining, and Jesus said, somebody said there's a young man, a little boy with food, he had some festivals, some snapper, five loaves of bread, two fish. Five loaves of bread, two fish, right? Five fish, two, however the Bible said it. Doesn't rush the Bible. And what God did was he fed every single person with that amount of food, so much so that there were leftovers. Following that, you had wow. Somebody say wow. You remember reading about wow? You don't remember reading John? Read John chapter 6. It tells you about wow. Wow, walking, Jesus walking on water. He walked on that thing. Let me say this. After the feeding of the 5,000, he went up into the mountain, sent them off on the lake, on the ocean. And as he was praying, there was a storm. And he came down and he walked on water and he called Peter. And we know what happened with Peter. Following that, Jesus, down at 40, maybe 45, he now starts to telling everybody, I am the bread of life. He says, I'm the bread of life. It's me. I'm the bread of life. Matter of fact, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no parts of me. And so what happens is that the Jews started grumbling. They started, what are you talking about? You know how we do. You know how we do when a person is preaching. You know when they say something that sounds real. You know how we do. Y'all don't know how we do? Because I do it. So they started grumbling. They started, what are you talking about? He wants us to eat his calf? No. What do you mean? No, I don't understand that. That don't make no sense. And say he down a little bit further, he explains exactly what he's talking about. And then in verse 66, it tells us that disciples left him. We read it. There were some disciples that left. They heard everything. They witnessed the feeding of the over 5,000. They may not have saw the wow, but they heard about it. Man, I've got to talk about it. You just saw somebody walk on water. They were talking about that for a minute. You heard about it. Before that, you saw some other miracles. And now Jesus said, listen, I am the bread of life. You want to go to the Father? You got to come through me. And here are the Jews grumbling, talking. And the Bible in verse 66 tells us that some left. Jesus, who is the perfect communicator. He talks to you the way you understand. If you are a farmer, he speaks that language. If you are a scientist, he speaks that language. If you are a philosopher, he talks to you in parables. I mean, he comes where you are and speaks in a way that you will understand. And after hearing everything that Jesus said, you had some people that still, yo, this dude don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to get out of here. They still left. Still left. I want to share with you, and then I'm done, right? I want to share with you, I'm going to jump past that, jump. 5 keys. 5 keys to get at, to get better at listening, right? 5 keys. Give me, 9 minutes. 5 keys, all right? Key number one, you got to do what? You got to fix the filter. What was it that was in the past that affected you, that is causing you to not really hear what your loved one is trying to communicate to you? What is it? We've all been affected in some way, shape, or form. But if we don't fix that filter, you're going to go through life either feeling miserable or causing the people you're in relationship with to be miserable. And I'm not just talking, I'm saying relationships, because we have relationship with our parents, we have relationships with our neighbors, we have relationships with those, our church, fellow church members. It's not just a marital relationship. If you don't fix the filter, you see what happened? Let me tell you what happened. The reason why those Jews misunderstood what Jesus was trying to communicate, even after he explained it, was because there was a filter. There were some Jewish practices that affected how they hear things. There was some stuff that they went through that affected it. So when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, they thought he was blaspheming. We got to fix the filter. Say it, everybody. We got to do what? Fix the filter. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do, what? Flows from it. There's another text here, Ezekiel 36, verse 26, says, I will give you a what, everybody? And put a new spirit, where? I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Some of us wants to hold on to the trauma that we've been through. We want to hold on to the hurt. Some of us have trust issues and don't care to be better. We don't care to fix that. We have trust issues not because that's how we are, at the core, like nature. It was your experiences that actually caused or contributed to you having trust issues. And there are actual practical things that you could do. I talked about going to counseling, but there's so many other things that you can do as an individual. God wants to take it away from you. He wants to put in you a new heart. But if every single time he's saying, here's a new, you're saying, here's the old. God put something new, you take it out, put something old. You're undoing what God is trying to do. Got to fix the filter. All right, here we go. Number two, we got to imprison what, everybody? Imprison the impulses. Imprison the impulses. As Christians, so many of us, we react. You know the difference between reacting and responding? Yeah? I'll share something with you real quick. I'm going to try. Very fast. I'll say it. I know somebody, I'm not going to say who it is, but I know somebody that if you, Al, come off as trying to say or do something bad, not that you're trying to, but if you come off as trying to do something or say something bad about somebody he or she loves, you about to be in trouble. I'm talking about impulses here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So I'm pointing at the chair behind you, telling somebody I'm standing beside, I need that chair. Could you get that chair for me? But Randall now thinks I'm pointing at you. And Randall is your boy. So what does Randall do? He walk up to me, try to check me. Bro, I don't even know that person. I'm talking about the chair. Now Randall have to walk away not saying sorry, feeling stupid, because I wasn't talking about his boy. I mean, impulses. Right? Allowing your emotions to dictate how you react. You see something and you immediately react. Without seeking clarification and getting a better understanding, so you can provide a proper response. We gotta imprison our impulses. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm where? Where, everybody? In the end. Proverbs 29, verse 11. The next thing we got to do is arrest the ignorance. Arrest what, everybody? The arrogance. What did I say, ignorance? I'm just making sure that y'all, you got to arrest the arrogance. I want to read this for you real quick. It says, arrogance creates a false sense of self and an inflated ego that makes it difficult to listen, to empathize, and to comprehend another person's perspective. It means a person is only open to hearing that which does not threaten or contradict the image of themselves that they created. You ever hear somebody say, I'm humble? You ever hear somebody say that? Have you ever said that yourself? You kind of can't say that. Yeah, that in and of itself tells you're not humble. You ever hear Jesus say he's humble? We got to really check ourselves. Somebody say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Romans 12, 3, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. This is probably one of the hardest things on this list. We got to practice patience. Patience in the morning, patience at noon. We got to practice patience. After a long day of work, you come home, got to practice patience. You know how you get patience? Huh? You know? Trials. Tribulations. Can't get patience without going through some trials and tribulations. It's tough. This right here is tough. Practice patience all the time. All the time. You gotta be quick to listen. That's what this is saying right here. Because you feel, you know, you're emotional and you feel it boiling up inside you. You're in a conflict and you're dealing with something and you feel something on the inside and you just want to get it out. You just want to get it out. You know, Dad told me this some time ago. You don't have to respond to everything. And when he said that, I was like, you don't say. That is true, I don't. You know, you can choose. You don't have to. You don't have to respond to everything. It's patience. You got to practice patience. It takes patience to do that. Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can what, everybody? Can break a bone. And the final one is consulting their creator. I'm done. See, I told you, 9 minutes. Done. You got to consult. And I said, you notice I said their creator? Yeah? It's not that y'all don't have the same creator. But this personalize it. They have a creator. And oftentimes in conflict, I mentioned this in the beginning, we treat the person we are in dialogue with as the enemy. And sometimes we are disrespectful, not by being disrespectful, but by being dismissive. You know what I'm saying? So some people think, you don't, I'm sitting down, you said you wanted to talk, you know? I'm sitting down, we're having a conversation, we're talking. And I'm going to practice patience and not respond to everything like that said. And we're listening to every single thing they're saying. And we're also listening to our thoughts. And when we have it, though, Tracy, in the forefront of our minds, practice patience. Practice patience, practice patience. And so we don't interrupt while they're talking. We give them the space. To the point where they're on sentence number 7 and we're still holding on to sentence number 3. Because that stepped on our toe. As soon as he or she done talking, I'm going to address that first. Or even if you don't do that, the person gets done talking. Okay, so what do you have to say? Nothing. You wanted to talk, and so I'm just listening. Actively. And so you walk away, and you don't say a word. And you think you were not disrespectful. But dismissing somebody is disrespecting them. Listening actively is only effective when you do something after you hear the concern and the need of the person that you're talking to. I'm gonna say that differently. You do something to affect positive and spiritual change emotional change, physical change, to affect them. And so I have consulted their creator, because we get so lost in thinking that, you know what? What you said really hurt me. Now, all of a sudden, the subject of this conversation is not how the person feels, but how what they said made you feel. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about you, or are we talking about how I feel? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? I don't know which one of these five things you need to implement. Maybe you need to do all five. I have no idea. But relationships will only get better if we are intentionally practicing these things in conversations. So we can hear a person's heart, a person's concern. We can hear what's on their mind. We can hear what they need. And you say, well, God will provide all your needs. I can't. Now, why are you in a relationship with them? Well, you made a commitment. And I know you may be thinking, well, I'm not married, so that's not me. He's not talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you too. I'm talking to you too. Some of us, we changed churches because we didn't practice active listening. Some of us, we. It's like the older we get. I heard this sometimes. I hear this one time. I can't remember how old he said he was, but he said he was approaching 50, and he said he has no friends, and it made me think. Now, this was a podcast with maybe three other individuals. So it's four individuals on the podcast. And the guy said he had no friends. And it made me think for a second. No friends? None whatsoever. So everybody that came in your life got up and left. Okay, so then what are you doing to contribute to that? Did you consult their creator in a particular conflict? Did you make an assumption and say, well, they don't love me because they don't care about me? Because every single time they call me, they're just talking about themselves and their problems and their this and their that. And did you talk about it? Did you help to create a safe place, a safe space? What did you do to contribute to that scenario? We all have relationships that need help. Some of us, marital relationships, mommy-daddy relationships, sibling relationships, church relationships. There is absolutely something that we can do about it to get better. There's absolutely something we can do about it. We don't got to wait until we get to heaven. We can practice it now. We can be intentional about it now. There is absolutely no relationship that is broken that cannot be fixed. Y'all know that? There's no relationship at all that's broken that cannot be fixed. The question is, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to imprison the impulses? To fix the filter? To arrest the arrogance? Are you willing to consult the Creator? You have a relationship
that's on your mind right now, I want you to stand with me. If you are asking God to help you make some positive and spiritual change in that relationship. We'll pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you can be a glue that keep us together. We thank you that you can be a love that keep us together. We thank you, God, that you can mend relationships that's broken, that is experiencing some form of brokenness. God, there's something on here, there's something that was said that I need to work on. There's something that was said that we need to work on. And maybe we need to work on every single one, Father, but we know we can't do it by ourselves. So I'm asking you, Father, to be what we need. That you would tell us what to do, what to say, when to say. That you would remind us who the enemy is. That you would remind us that it's only good gifts that come from you. We thank you, God, that you gave us the strength to be courageous. The strength to, you know what? God, I'm placing my relationship or relationships in front of you. I pray that you would rain down your Holy Spirit. Father, we want to change for the better. We want to feel joy and peace even in our relationships. Father, some of us have some bad habits that's affecting our relationships. Some of us don't know how to listen. So God, teach us. May this change be lasting. I pray, Father, that when we leave here, it will not simply be a high from a particular drug, Father, but I pray that tomorrow and next week and next year, Father, will still, even if not getting them right every day, but consistently practicing good ways to communicate so we can grow emotionally, so we can grow mentally, so we can grow spiritually. Father, forgive us of all the wrongs, all the things that we've done, all the wrongs, God, that we're going to do. Every single time we're going to mess up. Forgive us. Thank you for being patient, Father. And as you are patient, Father, I pray that you would provide the space for us to grow where patience is concerned. Thank you for what you did here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.